It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Hello, beautiful difference makers. You are loved. I have full faith in you that you are a world changer, that you are the light of the world, and that you're going to just make a beautiful difference in this one day. Let it be extravagant. Let it be bold. I love you guys. Bye.
Where are you, by the way, Scotty? Did you go to Boise last night, or what was the deal there?
It's so good, I'm sorry.
Hey, are you still in Boise, buddy?
Well, yeah, we have Utah State's got a game later tonight, so yeah, I'm still.
You didn't return home and just call it from there?
No, I'm up here.
So what's the deal there?
Well, they lost the other night.
Okay, now I'm sorry. I should.
Lloyd, I'm telling you, when you start the show like that, this time
I own it. That's my fault. I really am sorry.
I wasn't the dead horse that was getting kicked by Lloyd this morning or to start this show. But I have been multiple times, and Scotty, you have witnessed me maybe 100 times over the last 7 years when Lloyd does that to me. My countenance falls. And it's a Friday. We're trying to have a good time. And Lloyd,
I
just
don't
know.
We can still have a good time. It was funny.
You're going to have to order me a sandwich up here.
Why don't you, Lloyd, make yourself a sandwich, Scotty?
No, wow. Lloyd, you go on to DoorDash.
By the way, you get Scotty a sandwich. No, I've got all the fixings here. I'm good.
What'd you go with? Some salami?
No, just a nice turkey breast, a little pepper jack cheese, mayo. We're good to go.
Oh, so pepper just some jack cheese on a sandwich.
Oh, it's the fresh, best.
So good.
Fresh bought deli meats, Scotty.
Yeah.
Okay, let's. All right. I know we got a ton to talk about. We need to just briefly discuss this. The glitz and glamour of it sounds beautiful. It really does, Scotty. It sounds amazing.
The glitz and glamour of Boise, Idaho?
No, of my own little studio apartment.
Oh, the peace
and quiet. My own meats and my own cheeses that aren't touched by anybody. No friends that come over. I mean, we've been having these floods of like 3-4 friends that will come over and raid everything from my little Smiles fruit bits to the fresh cheeses. And it just sounds really nice just to have my own meats and ice creams and not have somebody say, five scoops? Like, I don't want anybody to mention how many scoops I have. I just want my time, my food.
You know that you can yell at your kids and be like, come upstairs. And sometimes it's a little hit and miss. But, boy, when you, like, in the middle of your cabinet and you lean over – and you just kind of open up that bag of Doritos, the sound of steps like, what's that? What do you got? Can I have some? What do you got there?
Scotty, you remember when you were younger and you'd be watching a show and it never failed. The worst part of the show would come on and mom and dad would walk in. It never failed. And that's how it is with me opening up an ice cream bucket, like any type of ice cream. I'll open it up. I'm like, there's nobody around. I'll open it up, and then it's like, oh, you have an ice cream? It's only noon. And then I don't care what time it is. It could be 2 a.m. I'm going to eat ice cream when I want to eat ice cream.
By the way, you're spot on because – so many times that happened. I even have, like, I remember clear as day, me and a couple of my buddies, and we're in, I don't know, elementary school, junior high, I can't remember, but we're watching Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
Was that Elizabeth Shue?
Yes, it was.
And And we're sitting there, and we've enjoyed a good chunk of the movie, and it's been fine. It's been pretty tame. My dad walks around the corner, and Elizabeth Shue drops the, "Don't you ever bleep with the babysitter." And my dad's like, "Shut it off. Turn it off." And I'm like, yep. No, it's just one word.
One and it's like F word in the whole movie.
It's the end of the movie. Like, what are you doing? No, you just walked in. Turn it off. That's not okay. I'm like, stop it. Then my friends are all mad at me because I got the angry dad. And it's just, yeah.
That was the subway scene. Yeah, yep. And I'm sure that it happened to me as well. I don't know why that always happens, man. Like, you could be watching Top Gun and you're like, wow, this is great. Like, flying airplanes and talking back and forth. And in walks mom and dad as soon as Kelly McGillis is slipping out of her negligee. It's like, what? No!
Somebody's getting their breath. Somebody's getting their breath taken away, and it's all, you got to turn it off.
Why couldn't you walked in on Boys of Summer? Like, you know, just a bunch of guys shirtless playing volleyball, but you... it is still a little provocative, but yeah, I still would rather that than Kelly McGillis having her breath taken away. Oh, jeez. My gosh, the timing of it. It's like you're watching Dances with Wolves and you're like, "Dad, I'm just really trying to, you know, rediscover American history and Native American history," and there stands With a Fist who's not standing anymore, and you're like, "Ah, no." Lays With a Fist? I don't get it.
Ooh.
Oh, man, it's just the worst. I don't know what the timing is with it, man. It's the worst. It is.
Yeah, it and tough. Somehow I didn't inherit that ability because I don't. My kids go downstairs and watch a movie, and I'm like, yeah, go down there. Do your thing.
2 weeks later, you go down to check on them.
Yeah. Like, where have you guys been?
Oh, my gosh. So, studio apartment life, buddy.
Yeah, sounds... I'm ready to come home, though.
You know, I was thinking about this, like, you know, being in a studio apartment and being able to just go ice fish when I want to ice fish, those kinds of, like, it's all glitz and glamour. But then I think about being away from my wife for more than, you know, a half a day, and I get overwhelmed with emotion and grief. I can't
be away. Stop.
I can't be away.
A half
you
day.
You know that, Lloyd.
Knock
half
off.
Day. I'm not no, even kidding
Lloyd,
you.
You know that's true. Like, by the end of the show, you know he's antsing to get out.
Oh, yeah, I know it's true with him.
I love her so much. Like, I love my wife so much. She would be welcome.
I know.
In my studio
you're in love with love. I get it.
I am. And it's Friday, and I love Fridays because I know that I get to spend the next 2 days with her by her side.
Unless you're fishing.
on
Valentine's Day,
which I do have plans.
How early on in the in your guys' relationship, she didn't realize you were a stage 5 clinger? I have no idea.
Oh, wow, I got a laugh out of Johnny.
Did you just call me a stage 5 clinger?
Sorry.
Come on, man. Yesterday was just it was machine gunning each other. Let's not do that today. It's a Friday. Let's be on the same page. Friends, buddies.
Okay, we'll be on the same team. Especially at 1:30.
I do want to ask a question of our Twitter followers just because we brought up the reference. Send it to Scotty and I at Scotty G Zone at 975 Hance. The awkward moments that your parents walked in during movies. I'd love to know. Because all of us have had it. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, did you time it for this?
Yeah. Did you watch the movie beforehand so you knew when to walk in at that exact moment?
Speaking of which, Scotty, so, you know, I love doing movie nights with my kids because I love movies. And Mackie doesn't really like movies, but Mackie decided she was going to watch a movie with us yesterday. But Ashlyn's kind of my movie buddy. She loves movies. We watched Million Dollar Baby last night.
Ooh. I like how you're going with the upbeat, positive, fun ending movies. That's great.
Yeah, so I forgot that movie rips your guts out, like just tears your guts out. I was thinking, because I thought I'd remembered hearing that it was a true story. And afterwards, I'm crying. I got tears coming down my cheeks, and my daughters think I'm a wimp. My daughters don't cry, which is weird, but Amanda. I've only seen Amanda cry 2 times in 22 years, so they've got their mom's cold. But I'm sitting there crying. I had to look it up. It's not a true story. It's not a true story.
Well,
thankfully.
Good. That was that ending is no bueno.
Mm. So hard to watch that movie.
Yeah.
But a great movie.
All right, Hans and Scotty, it's a Friday edition of the show. Let's kick it off. It is time for your starting lineup.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup.
Starting lineup.
Presented by University of Utah Health.
Gotta love it!
On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Well, all-star voting, at least for the first team, and captains are in officially, came in yesterday. And just to help people understand that for your captains and for your starters, it's chosen by a combination of voting from fans, media, and other players. So you've got LeBron James and Kevin Durant that were named captains. And the way you get named the captain of the East and the captain of the West, you're the lead vote getter in each of those conferences. And so Kevin Durant really controlled things and LeBron James controlled things. And then, Scotty, I just want to get your thoughts on how the East and the West first teams worked out. I mean, I do want to mention one thing really quick before you jump into it. There was a tie in the West between Luka Doncic and Damian Lillard. And when you get to a tie in voting, it goes to more of a fan-based voting system, and Luka Doncic edged out Damian Lillard in the fan voting system. So Luka was able to break the tiebreaker with Damian Lillard on that end of things and is your starter. But your thoughts on how the all-star starters are working out, and then I also wanted to get into an all-star reserve coming up here as well.
Well, here's the thing, and I think you would agree with this, and I think we've all been there, is that I think that the fan voting is ridiculous. I think it's dumb, and I think it needs to go away. With that said, you want that fan engagement, and you want to make sure that you've got people that you got fans that are actively involved with your league, and this is a great way to do it. I understand that, but there's no reason, and there's no world that should exist where Damian Lillard is not a starter. For the Western Conference. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, Luka's great, and no hate on Luka, but there's no reason why Damian Lillard should not be starting in this. And it shouldn't have even come down to a tie. It should have always have been Damian Lillard as a starter. And the fact that Luka is frankly a joke. So I'm a little surprised by that. I'm a little bothered by that. But other than that, I think it's probably, you know, Steph, LeBron, Kawhi, Joker. I mean, those are all good picks. And on the East side, no real issues there. But it's just a huge popularity contest. And then it all comes down to you hope that the coaches get it right. And I think it's good to have certainly to have Quinn Snyder there to help out, kind of round out the roster. Because you're going to see Donovan Mitchell and you're going to see Rudy Gobert. And that's great. And they need to be on there. But look, I would have put Donovan as a starter ahead of Luka. That's the kind of stuff that really annoys me. The really blatant, this shouldn't be happening type of situation.
Well, interesting conversation. I know we absolutely hate Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley when they talk negative towards the people we love. But when Charles Barkley comes out with an opinion that favors Donovan Mitchell, everybody tends to gravitate towards it. This is Charles Barkley talking about the all-star picks for the first team, who should be there and who shouldn't be there.
There's no right or wrong answer, but I thought Dame Lillard and Donovan Mitchell, to me, when you have the best record in basketball, that says a lot. If you're the best, they have these stupid arguments about who gets MVP every year. The MVP has never went to the best player. It always went to the player who was the best player on the best team. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal should have won 3 or 4, but the other guys played better that season. Donovan Mitchell should be rewarded, in my opinion. No disrespect to anybody, but this kid's been the best player on the best team in the NBA, and it's unfortunate he's not started.
Hmm.
It's not wrong. There needs to, like, that's part of the spoils of having the best record in the NBA. And the Jazz were able to pick up some of that with Quinn Snyder being the coach. But honestly, I think Donovan Mitchell needs to be there because he's the best player on the best team in the NBA. And I love the fact that that it was brought up like that to by Charles Barkley. Look, Michael Jordan should have always been the MVP because he was always the best player in the league. But Karl Malone won the MVP when the Jazz had a better record than the Chicago Bulls did in a regular season. Because these voters realize, okay, well, certainly, like, you know, you could give LeBron the award every single solitary year because he's the best player. But it's not about that. It's also about who's winning. And right now the Jazz are winning at a high level, frankly, and just obliterating the majority of teams that they have been playing over this stretch. And I think the best player on a team that's having an historic run in the NBA needs to be a starter on an All-Star game. Now, the game doesn't matter that much. Like, I don't – it's not worth getting angry about, but it just shows you how stupid this whole thing is.
How much do they look at points leaders? And I ask that because, you know, you look at Steph Curry, who checked in on the first team. Steph Curry is leading, or he is the second point leader in the NBA, just behind Bradley Beal at 30 points per game. So Steph is putting up currently 30 points per game. Damian Lillard checks in at number three at 29.8 points per game. Luka Doncic checks in at number five at 29.1 points per game. And we know that Donovan Mitchell is the Utah Jazz scoring leader, and that tells you how incredible this team is because Donovan Mitchell is the 17th scoring leader currently in the NBA at 24.2 points per game. When you're looking at your guards and you're looking at your selections, I agree with Charles. I think that team success has to play a huge role. But when you're looking at your guards, I think everybody likes to look at the flash and pizzazz of points. And Donovan Mitchell's got 24.2, which is right now currently his best average per season or in any season that he's played. But do people look at number 17 and say, well, man, James Harden's scoring more than him. Jason Tatum is scoring. And I know that Tatum's in a different conference. But, you know, you go down the list and you look at it and think, okay, well, does he deserve it when he's the 17th scoring leader? I do wonder if that gets in the way of people's voting.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a problem. I think people make it a lot more complicated than it needs to be. Like, the best team needs to be rewarded with their players being represented, especially their best player needs to be represented on that All-Star team. Now, look, you know, Jokic and Denver probably, you know, Jokic has had a tremendous year. He's in the MVP race, and Jokic probably needs to get that starting nod over Rudy Gobert. I have no problem with that. But Luka should not be starting over either Donovan Mitchell or Damian Lillard. I mean, I think both those guys have a complete sense of could have a complete sense of anger over that. You know, I'm just pulling up. Actually, that's the wrong thing. I'm just trying to find out, you know, exactly where Dallas sits right now, because what are they, a 500 team right now? Dallas is no, they're two games above under 500. They're 13-15.
Oh wow!
They're not. If the playoffs start today, they're not even a playoff team.
What are they in? Are they in the 10th?
Yeah, they're in the 10th spot. Yeah. And you're going to say that a player from that team needs to be starting in the All-Star game? Of course not. Absolutely not.
I do feel good about the Nikola Jokic pick.
Yeah.
Nikola is just doing some incredible things, and I think any Jazz fan – that's been watching this season so far can look at that Denver Nuggets team and say, boy, after the bubble and after the first two games, the first game that the Jazz won, very close game, the second game that the Jazz lost, very tough loss, everybody's got to be nervous about what Nikola Jokic is able to do and what Denver's able to do. So I think everybody would be okay with that pick. But I agree with you. Seeing Luka Doncic in over Damian Lillard is a little bit confusing this year. Where does Portland sit right now? What seed are they?
Portland is the fourth seed. They are 18-10. So you're going to say essentially that Luka on a team that's two games over 500 deserves to be in a spot over Damian Lillard, whose team is 18-10 and Donovan Mitchell, whose team is 24-5.
And, you know, Portland might be the second or third hottest team in the NBA right now, just behind the Utah Jazz. They're putting together a really nice win streak, five or six deep. And Portland's starting to get their team back and healthy a little bit, but they've been doing a lot of this work without Nurkic, without C.J. McCollum. McCollum's missed multiple games, and you're seeing a lot of weight being put on Enes Kanter, and you're seeing a lot of weight being put on the bench. You know, you're even seeing Carmelo Anthony have to answer the bell a couple more times than he's used to having to answer over the last couple of years because he's having to fill in. But Portland's doing this without their without two or three of their starters right now, Scotty. So Portland is a really good team, a nice hot team. They need to get healthy. But Damian Lillard, of course, is the guy that's been dragging them through this five or six game win streak mud that they're currently on.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Out and about today is Hans. You know, I tell you what, there's very few people on the planet. I know he's not there today hanging out with us, but Tim at RGS is one of the best dudes out there, and RGS continues to get it done time in and time out. Five generations doing business in Salt Lake. I've had him out to do some work at my place on some rain gutters. It's just amazing the kind of service you get out there at RGS.
Yeah, and it's whatever you need. You know, if you need heat cables to prevent ice and snow buildup, you should have done that maybe summer or fall. But if you're absolutely strapped and you've got gutters that are breaking off your house, then you need to get that done. I was able to get the heat cables installed in my gutters just before winter, Scotty, because I've got this awning that overhangs my gutters that has a tin roof on it. And that snow comes off that tin roof and falls and piles up in that gutter. And I had to get that heating cable across that gutter to keep the flow going. And I'm telling you, if you give RGS a call, they can get things done for you fairly quickly right now. I know that there's a bit of a backlog, but they can get things done pretty quick. And Scotty, we don't have Tim here with us, but we do have Kurt here hanging out with us. And Kurt, I can't tell you how helpful these heater strips in this gutter have been for me, just to keep the flow of the ice and snow so my gutters don't break off.
Yeah, well, they solve problems. And a lot of people don't understand how many problems you can run into, or that there's a good solution that is pretty cost effective. So the good thing with the heat systems that we can do is we can analyze your house. You don't have to throw a bunch of money at it. It could be just one little area and one little solution, and we can take care of that for you.
Can they get the heat cables installed right now, or is it?
Well, just like everything you already mentioned, the timing is, we are a little bit backlogged this year, but anything, any product, any solution we can work on right now. So if you have a dire issue that you need to address right now, we'll come out, we can have somebody assess it, and then obviously timing-wise would be the only tricky thing. So
I just look at, you know, a lot of different things that people can have done there. Pretty much if it's on the outside of the house, you guys can get it taken care of. Brick, stone, stucco, the preferred siding contractor at James Hardy. I mean, the amount of things you guys can do and help people with is just really astounding.
And that's the nice thing about when we send people out to your home, it's not, hey, I need this, give me that. They're going to take a little bit of time. They're going to look at everything that you have on the home to make sure that what you think is the problem is actually the problem. Because our guys are well-versed with all of the exterior products. They know if something is contributing to something else. Because when we leave, we want to have been able to provide you with a solution rather than a Band-Aid or a simple fix. And a lot of the times, it just, you need somebody that will go to your home, take the time to talk to you to see what the real issues are, and then spend the time to tell you this is something that will actually take care of your problem rather than a Band-Aid solution for now.
I want people to just kind of maybe get out a piece of paper and look at what is bugging you right now through the winter. If it's your gutters, you know, maybe it's your insulation. Maybe your garage is freezing and you don't have the insulation that's back behind your siding, or maybe you don't like the exterior look. Maybe you just don't like the look of the house. Take some notes and call RGS and explain to them what look you want. And, you know, the other thing I love about you guys is you bring people in and you'll sit them down and you'll show them kind of a virtual diagram of what their house would look like with new siding. That's
for sure.
Cool.
That's a hard one because people spend time. They look at their house all the time. They have ideas in their head that they want to put into play, but they don't know how to do that. So our design consultants, the people that go and meet with you on your home, can give you a lot of ideas, but they're really good at saying, what do you want? Let me try to put into perspective what your vision is. And then we use a software that we can actually put it onto paper and we can show you what your house will look like, visualize it, so to speak. That really helps people to make some decisions because the unknown is difficult for people to pull the trigger on stuff like that.
Check them out online, rgsutahsiding.com. That's rgsutahsiding.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Sam Amick, I still see national pundits compare the Jazz to the Hawks of a few years ago that were so good but ended up flaming out. Is this a case where the Jazz really can't win those people over to their side? Because 20 of 21, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Donovan Starr does continue to get brighter, but it's not as bright as a James Harden or a LeBron. If you ask the casuals why Utah is winning every night, they tell me what LeBron's doing. But they're earning respect on a nightly basis. They're winning even when they don't play all that well, which is a sign of a really good team. They're winning when they got guys out of the lineup. They seem to also keep their perspective on the big picture and know you don't win a championship a couple months into the regular season.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Ready for some injury updates for tonight?
Yeah, do you got them?
Yeah, there really isn't anything new.
Oh, okay.
Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, questionable for tonight. Mike Conley, day-to-day. There you go.
And anything on Nicholas Batum? Not that he stands in the Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, or Mike Conley category, but
Nicholas Batum listed as questionable for Friday's game.
Well, you really have.
You want to know about Luke Kennard?
No,
he's also questionable for tonight's game.
You really have two options tonight, if you're the Clippers, if you're Coach Lou. The two options are: you either gear up, get everybody you can on the court, and you go for a win, and you try to go for a dominant win, and you try to say, okay, look, when we're fully healthy, the Jazz are still the Jazz. Let's not get too anxious about this. Or you come out tonight and you sandbag it. You just bench a bunch of guys, you rest a bunch of guys, and you blame everything on, well, we just didn't care. And I don't know which way the Clippers are going to try to go tonight. My guess is they're probably just going to say, we just really don't care. We're trying to get to All-Star break healthy, and we'll figure out things on the other side of that. Like, that's the feel I've got, because I believe that the Clippers know they're outmatched unless they've got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Not just Kawhi and Paul George on the court.
Man, you sure love to see him out there.
Yeah.
Love to see that level of competition against this Jazz team.
I would. Now, if this was game in a regular 82-game season, if this was game 78 and the Jazz are fighting to get out of the eighth seed to not face a Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Golden State team like there was a couple years ago, then it's like, oh, yeah, sit them. The Jazz have to get this win to get out of the eighth seed. But now that the Jazz are doing what they're doing, we all just sit here wondering, are they really potential contenders? Like, could they really be world champions? Are they as good as the 20 of 21 shows us that they are? Put Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Nicholas Batum and get Coach Lou at the top of his game and let's go. And, you know, that's that's where I'm at now. I don't – the wins and losses, I know that I'd like to see them stay in the one seed, but I just want to see them tested.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't want to say this flippantly because I know there's a lot of Jazz fans out there that want to see the Jazz pile up as much wins, as many wins as they can. So there might be some that might think, hey, you know what, let's let these guys sit out a little bit, pick up another win. I think the Jazz could use and look, they've had them already on the season, but it would be nice to have a really big statement win against Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the court, and the Jazz still win that game. Or next week when they play the Lakers, make sure that's a Lakers team that is all healthy and ready to go. Because I think it'd be nice for the Jazz to be able to go out there, play well, and say, yeah, look, you know what? You wanted us to play the best in the West. We just did, and we just beat them.
So there's something really unique in professional athletics. When you beat a team that's not fully loaded, in your mind, you know, obviously you're excited, and a win's a win. And wins are tough to come by because those guys are paid just like you're paid. And wins are really tough to come by. But I do remember one specific instance in the AFL, which I know a lot of people aren't familiar with Shedrick Bonner or the AFL, but Bonner was an incredible quarterback and was great in the indoor game. He was out for a game. We beat that team. And when we beat them, all of us were sitting in the locker room after the game, and it was like they're, you know, one of the best teams in the league at the time. And we're like, hey, we're really good. That was a really good win. But in the back of our minds, we were thinking, if we see that team in the postseason and they've got Shedrick, well, it's not going to go the way it just went. It's in the back of your mind. And so I would like the Utah Jazz to be able to get a taste and a sense with Kawhi and Paul on the court at the same time. Here, during this streak, when they're really feeling it, I'd like to have them get a feel of what this team is when they're fully loaded.
Yep, exactly.
Because it's still going to be in the back of your mind, you know, whether it's the whatever round you end up possibly seeing the Clippers. And you might not see the Clippers. I don't know. Maybe you won't see the Clippers. But, you know, and by the way, Scotty, I do want to mention that the Utah Jazz did get a win against the Clippers game 5 or game 6 of this season, and Kawhi Leonard was on the court for nearly 40 minutes. Paul George was on the court for nearly 39 minutes. Those guys combined for 45 points, and you had Nicholas Batum on the court as well. So I know that they've got a win against this team fully loaded, but I'd like to see it now on this 20 of 21 streak that they're on as well.
Yeah. If nothing else, it gets people to calm down a little bit because for whatever reason, people forget that the Jazz already have a game against the Clippers under their belt. Like, oh, you got to play the Clippers. They did. But apparently now that the Jazz are a little bit more in the national spotlight because of this winning streak, that needs to be out there a little bit more. So I would like to see it. I don't think we're going to get it tonight. I think if you really want that big signature win, you're going to have to wait until the Laker game because I just think Paul George and Kawhi are going to sit this bad boy out again. And by the way, that's just 100% me speculating. I hope I'm wrong on that.
I think you're right. Okay, let's speculate on a 7-game series with this Clippers team. I actually don't think that this Clippers team is the best matchup for the Utah Jazz. I think in a 7-game series, even if they're loaded and Kawhi Leonard is pressed, I still think you're going to see playoff P or whatever you call Paul George when the playoffs come around. You'll see Paul George, you know, not elevate to the level that he needs to elevate to. And I don't necessarily think with Serge Ibaka as their primary big man, I don't necessarily think this team has the length or the real ability to get past the Jazz in a 7-game series. Not the way the Jazz are playing right now.
No.
And that, I think the Jazz beat them in a 7-game series.
Yeah. And I think it's good that you clarify that too, because, I think that as the Jazz are playing right now, it's an important note to take, because if they continue this hot streak into the playoffs, then they're going to be a problem for the Clippers. The length and the perimeter defensive ability of Kawhi Leonard to be able to essentially defend anybody out on the court. And Paul George defensively makes me a little nervous, but you're right. I mean, the guy has been kind of a train wreck in the playoffs, and he's had some big-time issues. So I would like this matchup certainly a lot more than against the Lakers in a seven-game series.
Mm-hmm. And then I just think that Rudy, in the bigs matchup of Zubac and Serge Ibaka, I'd take Rudy Gobert all day, every day in that front court matchup. The one thing that makes me a little bit nervous is Patrick Beverley's ability to really skew things on the perimeter with, as you mentioned, with Kawhi Leonard's ability to defend any position on the court. But a point that I mentioned yesterday, that it was a tweet that I saw from Tony Jones. He said, without Mike Conley on the court, it's a totally different situation, because if you got Mike Conley on the court, then you can take the ball somewhat out of Donovan's hands, and you can run Beverly off some of the defense and run some different picks. And I do think Mike Conley would make a huge impact in that situation. But I don't fear the Clippers in a seven-game series against the Jazz right now, even fully loaded.
Nope. I like that matchup a lot, for sure. Laker matchup, that one makes me nervous.
That's the only one.
As it should, because they're the Lakers.
The Lakers and the Nuggets, believe it or not.
Ooh, that's a good call. Nuggets might be a bigger problem than the Clippers.
For one reason or the other.
Yeah.
The Lakers and that Denver Nuggets matchup makes me nervous, because, Scotty, I know you've played some high-level sports, and I know that I know you're competitive.
Yeah.
And if you think back in playing sports, and I would ask everybody that's driving in their car, at some point in your life, you had somebody do something to you on a court or a football field where they dominated you. They beat you up. Yeah. They got you. They one-upped you. And it puts this little bit of doubt in the back of your head of, my goodness, that sucked. Now, for me, it was the world of wrestling. If a guy beat me in wrestling and he did it, he was just tough, and I felt his strength and I knew he was strong, which I didn't get beat often in wrestling. There was a mental block that would pop up in my mind of, boy, this guy's a problem for me. And I would have to convince myself that I'm bigger, stronger, and better than this guy. And I literally would have to work on it, the mental aspect of stepping out onto the wrestling mat against this guy, because if I let that doubt creep in, the second he gets the underhooks on me and controls me with that strength, well, I'm screwed, because this has happened to me 100 times. Well, the Jazz had a really nasty thing happen to them last year in a 1-3 situation.
Yeah.
And it was from multiple angles, multiple scoring angles, multiple defensive angles, and Murray doing absolutely incredible things to come back from that 1-3 to win it in three consecutive games to win it and move on in that series. There is going to be a mental block that the Jazz are going to have to face. It's not a physical block. It's a mental block that they are going to have to face when and if they take on Denver. So Denver does make me nervous.
Yeah. It's a really good point, and I think that's a real, real issue. And frankly, the Jazz have played their best basketball that they've played in decades. And who's the team that beat them? Denver Nuggets.
That's a good point. Right there in the middle of it.
Yep.
Right there in the middle of it. And we're not talking about the Jazz skating by teams, too. It's all double-digit wins, and then there's that Nugget loss right in the middle of it.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What you may have missed coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Donovan constantly talks about how good he is at baseball. And I was like, I would 100% be able to hit one of your, what do you call it, pitch? One of your
fastball.
Pitches? Fastball, yeah. And he's like, no, you wouldn't. I said, well, let's bet. And the bet was he had 10 pitches and I had to connect on one of them. I'm not saying I'm going to smack him for a home run and run around the triangle thing with my shirt off.
Bases.
It's a diamond. It's not a triangle
whatever
thing.
Run around the sand pit. The other thing with throwing 10 straight is he's going to get tired. He doesn't play baseball for a living.
Neither do you.
But I'm just standing there with a...
Hey!
One out of 10. That's it. One. I know I can't run and jump and all that, but I can stand there and hit a ball.
Have a great bleeping day, Joe.
Joe Bleeping Ingles has joined us here on 97.5 and 1280 The Bleeping Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Coming up here in about 10 minutes, we're going to chat with Craig Bowlerjack, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard here on the Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed. Hans and I, during the break, were having an intense conversation about frozen pizzas. I think there are certain brands out there that are very solid on a frozen pizza. And if you're in a bind for like $4 or $5, you can get yourself a pretty good pizza.
And Scotty and I were also talking about using a frozen pizza as a base and then
yes.
having a little bit of fun with it, because you can do so many fun things with a frozen pizza. Chop up your own mushrooms and onions and fry up your favorite Italian sausage and throw your own favorite cheese blend. You know, you were mentioning some pepper jack earlier. Pepper jack's my favorite cheese in the world, and I'll shred some pepper jack and throw that on top of that, you know, mixture of mushrooms and onions and sausage. By the way, don't saute your onion and mushroom when you throw it on top of there. That oven just kind of bakes the juices into the pizza, and it's just amazing. So I love it, man. I love building that base and building my own pizza.
Oh, I will argue a little bit with you on that, because sometimes if you've got some really, like, you know, those mushrooms can get pretty watery, and it could soggy up your pizza a little bit. So I do a quick little, not a full cook on my mushrooms and onions when I do something like that, you know, cause we do a lot of, make your own pizza days, for dinner with our families.
Yeah.
And I will always do a quick saute on them just to get a little bit of that moisture out of there. Cause sometimes if you really load it up with mushrooms and onions, sometimes that liquid will just drench your pizza too much.
However you want to do it, man, it's absolutely delicious. Hey, Scotty, I wrote a joke for you.
Okay.
And I know that you and Loy get mad when I write jokes on the dock, but
I put it for D. Mitch.
Won't hit a pitch from D. Mitch. BYU went Carole Baskins on the Tigers last night. Now, I don't know who Carole Baskins is, but I haven't watched enough of the documentary to know. But apparently Carole Baskins is a bad person to Tigers. Does she hurt Tigers?
No, I don't think she really hurts Tigers. She just feeds her husband to Tigers. Or allegedly.
What?
Allegedly, yeah, probably ought to clarify that. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
People think she fed her husband to Tigers?
Well, why don't you go watch the series and you tell me what you think.
I tried. I was in 10 minutes into that, and I'm like, who is this dude?
Well, when it gets in, it might be like episode 2 or 3 where you really gets into who Carole Baskins is.
Yeah.
That's the one you got to watch.
Hey, Scotty, I'm hoping maybe you can enlighten me a little bit, too, because I sent out a tweet yesterday, and it has been received with a lot of fire and brimstone from Utah fans. I put out a tweet that says, BYU men's basketball coach Mark Pope's ability to flip Caleb Lohner from Utah to BYU might be his biggest win as a head coach. Caleb Lohner plays like a hungry, chiseled, grown man. He fights for the 50-50 balls, and he's got determination defensively. He's a big-time player. And I did not realize that Utah fans truly feel like BYU broke all kinds of NCAA rules to get Caleb Lohner. Do you have any insight into that?
No insight on it. I read what people say on Twitter and stuff, but I've never seen anything overly substantiated on that. I will say this, if I were Utah, and I say this about everybody, you know this, I'm not as kind as Utah was in letting him out of his, because he signed his letter of intent. Like, it was signed and submitted, and Utah with Larry Krystkowiak and Mark Harlan were kind enough to let him out of that letter of intent so he could go and be eligible right away for BYU. I would not have done that, but I'm that way across the board on all that stuff. I feel like if a kid signs his name on a dotted line, then he needs to at least sit out a year at some level of consequence for changing his mind. You like, well, coaches, I get it, but that's the system. Them's the rules. And until we have the one free transfer, then I think a kid needs to sit out. So Utah did him a favor, a big, big time favor that they didn't have to do, so that he could be eligible. And yeah, you're right. It seems like he's a grown man. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be a good player for a long time.
He's so good. Last night he was fantastic. But I was looking at a lot of these responses, and I could tell Utah fans are really beat up and bitter about it. And I can understand that to a large degree. You know, these kids, they change their minds and they move all over the place. But I will say that it's really the growing world of college sports. You know, how many guys have, in the last 3 years, how many guys have we seen leave Utah, go to Utah State, leave Utah State, go to BYU, BYU, go to Utah State and Utah? You know, we're seeing a lot of mix and match. Not as much in the basketball world as in the football world, but, you know, these things are happening a lot. Now, if there was tampering, then that's a bummer. That's a really bad situation. That sucks. But I will tell you that anytime you point your finger, there's typically some pointing back at you. and I wouldn't be surprised if every university had some level of putting a phone call in, maybe when they shouldn't have put a phone call in.
100% accurate.
Yeah.
College athletics right now is, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah. I think that there is a degree to that, Scotty. So when you're attacking an organization, and that's fine to attack, I mean, your fan base, and that's fine. And I've had BYU fans after me for congratulating Utah on, you know, getting Devin Kaufusi, and hey, Devin Kaufusi is a fantastic player inside of Utah system, because Devin is growing, and I think that he's coming along. But you know, BYU fans will attack me for that, saying, well, this shouldn't have happened and that shouldn't have happened. Well, these things are all happening, and I'm not going to try to be careful around it to not hurt fans' feelings when I see something incredible. I mean, look, if Mark Pope did flip Caleb Lohner, or if his dad was hired at BYU or whatever the situation was, they got Caleb Lohner to BYU, and he's a difference maker. That guy is a difference maker. He is a baller. And he had 19 points, but I wasn't even impressed so much about his offense as I was what he was doing defensively. He shut down a really good offensive player. And then his rebound, Scotty, just tenacious. And as a true freshman, this guy, if he sticks around for a while, he is going to be one of the better players. He could be, you know, the next Lee Kennard for BYU.
Set that bar way high.
I can't stand how you disregard how good Lee Kennard was.
I'm not. I'm just saying when you're starting out at BYU and you're like, I'm going to be one of the best. I'm going to own the record book. I'm going to be noted as one of the best players to ever play here. I'm going to be Lee Kennard. Yes, sir.
Well, it would be my goal.
They're like, son, you know, Danny Ainge played here. I know. I want to be Lee Kennard. All right, let's go make it happen.
Lee was good. Scotty, you got to admit, Lee was really good.
Lee was really good. I'm not knocking on Lee. I'm just saying you put him in the pantheon of the greatest of the great of BYU basketball. And I think if Lee Kamard were to come on right now, I'd be like, Hans, man, let's maybe dial it down a little bit.
Pump the brakes, bro.
Didn't we ask Coach Pope about that? Or who was it? We asked some big BYU guy about it, and he said, yeah, Lee deserves to be up in the top 10 players all time at BYU.
Oh, you don't have him in the top 10, though. You have him like numero uno.
No, I've got him in the top 3 or 5, somewhere in there. It'd be like Danny Ainge, Jimmer Fredette, and Lee Kamard's in there somewhere.
Okay. I think I might put Trent Plaisted ahead of Lee Kamard.
No, you would not. Oh, may your tongue turn black and fall out of your mouth for saying that, Scotty. That's horrible what you just said.
May your Aggies lose another one.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, and you wonder why Greg calls up all surly. He heard what you just said right there.
So Boise takes a bit of a lead in the race to the conference crown with that win last night, right?
Oh, my gosh. Greg came out with his butterfly knife and nunchucks and just attacked you, blindsided you.
A thousand paper cuts all over your body.
I didn't see it coming. I'm a little surprised by the whole thing. In fact, I'm not completely sure that's what he was doing.
I'm not completely sure either. But the more I listen to that promo Lloyd put together, the more I really feel like he came guns a-blazing.
Yeah. Shoot him a text. Say, hey, were you gunning for me?
I don't have a cell phone.
One other note in what you may have missed. Utah is just on the struggle train right now. It's really rough to see what's happening. Oregon State beat them up soundly in the second half of that game at Gill Coliseum. Scotty and
yeah,
there just wasn't a lot it felt like Utah could do. They just had multiple turnovers. I think they ended up with, let me get the box score. I think they ended up with 20 turnovers on the night. 20 turnovers, shot 38% from the field. And their second half, again, just got them. Playing without Ryland Jones again. Yentunen was not out there again because of national duties. And Utah's on the struggle train, and it's pretty tough to watch.
Yeah, no, it's really difficult, especially considering what was done earlier, just a couple weeks ago, when they strung together a couple big wins. And now to lose that game and frankly lose it badly, it's a really difficult loss for BYU or for the University of Utah. And I think now we're back to the point where Utah fans are going to have some hard conversations about the future of their basketball program.
I agree.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans back at RGS Exteriors with a good friend of the program, Kurt. Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. Just excited to help people get their siding figured out and get their exteriors figured out. I know when you hear siding, maybe people think, well, it's just the vinyl thing. No. RGS does it all. You guys will do any kind of rock or stone. I know you specialize in hardy plank. Why don't you talk about that to start with? Just the hardy plank and how you guys have a fantastic relationship with them.
Well, out of all of the industries, siding does have a lot of different products. It does have a lot of variations in terms of the materials that you can use, how it looks. Hardy or fiber cement's been around a long time. Hardy kind of pioneered the process of creating fiber cement, a product that is really, really durable. And the fiber cement gives you a lot of options in terms of the aesthetics or the way that it's going to look on your home, because you can have it going up and down and left and right. And, you know, you have the shake shingles, and what they're doing is creating a product that looks like wood, but it is extremely durable. And in Utah, when we have freeze thaws, we have days where it's 60 degrees swing, where it's hot in the morning, cold at night, or cold in the, or hot in the afternoon. And the problem that happens with most exterior products is that they expand and they contract. And so when you have products that you paint, which gives you the option to change colors on your home, paint does not last very long. James Hardy created this fiber cement product so that you have something that's really, really durable, and so you don't have to do a lot of maintenance on it. And specifically with fiber cement, you don't have to worry about going back and looking at all the cracks and the seams and put caulking on it all the time. And then they took it to the next step, and they created a paint process similar to the automobile industry, where you have something incredibly durable, but then they can actually warranty the finish on that product as well. And so you can install in the middle of the wintertime because it's already pre-painted, and the installation methods and the materials that they recommend will allow you to have a product that can last you 20 years without even really having to think much about it. We kind of identified with that product as something that we want to carry because we believe in premium products. We believe in doing things right and giving homeowners something that is going to last. It's going to look great. And then there's a peace of mind. You don't have to worry about it all the time or hire a painter to come in every 5 years. So what we did is we partnered with James Hardy. They kind of have a program that they say, if you guys do it this way, this way, this way, we've spent millions of dollars to figure out how to do it right. And if you guys will come out and learn our processes, go through our training, and then go into the field and put it on the way that we want you to, we're going to basically give you a certification. Mm. Roofing companies or manufacturers, every manufacturing product out there, they have a certain way or guideline to put it on if you want it to last right. So we are the only company in Utah that have gone through all of the steps, the training, and meet the requirements in terms of using their material, using their recommended process. And so we are what you call an elite preferred dealer. So when people call James Hardy and say, hey, who should we have, or who should we look to put your product on the wall, they send you our way because we've done the education. And then the consistency of what we do, we have good relationships with the reps around here. They'll come out, they look at our work, they'll give us tips on, hey, this is how you should do it better, or this is how you should do it right. We call them if we have a question about installation procedures. And that relationship that we have with them, it makes us as a company feel good about what we're offering because we know we're doing it right. And so when we send people out to your home and we talk to you about some of the solutions we have, it's nice to be able to talk to somebody transparent and know that what we're offering them has great value, because people that have spent the time and the money to figure out how to do this and to do it right are teaching us and helping us and supporting us to do it their way. So at the end of the day, when we walk away from a home, we know that Homer's got the absolute best product. Their experience is phenomenal because as a company, that's what we want. And then James Hardy wants the same thing. So that partnership has been great for us.
Really impressive stuff. And if it's on the outside of the house, they can make sure to get it done for you. Whether you're talking about that siding or brick or stone or stucco or help with your rain gutters, it's all there and RGS Construction can help make it happen for you. Five generations of doing business. Tim and his crew are the absolute best. 9-time best of state winner. So make sure to go to rgsutahsiding.com. That's rgsutahsiding.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.